And welcome back to The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. I've been reporting on the environmental scene for about coming up to 15 years now. Started way last century with Trash Talk, launched Earth Day 1997, moving to Eco Talk, going on to The Green Front, covering everything from our waste in terms of garbage to what's coming out of our tailpipes and how that impacts global warming, as we used to call it. And speaking of pipelines, there's a little protest going on in Washington, D.C. outside that White House. It's not green enough to many of our liking, and that is the big protest over the tar sands. But if you're watching the nightly news, certainly if you're watching Fox News, Fox Television, I don't know why you would be, you wouldn't see much about it. That's not the case with the environmental community. We cover what we think matters most. And to help me do that, someone who is at the protest, Daniel Kessler with Rainforest Action Network. Thanks for joining me on The Green Front.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
So give us a scene, if you could, as we say in the business, set the scene for us, what it's been like. I understand there's been over 200 arrests, including organizer Bill McKibben. Has it been peaceful? Has it been loud? Is it getting attention? Are tourists who were just passing by to see the White House taking any interest? Do you feel like you're having an impact there? And then if you could also talk about how many environmental organizations and nonprofits, so the big ones, are behind this. This is no small thing here.
Yeah, it's quite a production, and it's going really well. I think it's really elevated the debate on oil and this proposed pipeline to a national level that we were hoping we would be able to get to, which has been great, and that's kind of the design of the action. So we have 2,000 people coming from all 50 states, and as you mentioned, we've had about 275 arrests thus far, about 50 people. Today was day five, and people are just coming in waves, and they're using the tradition of great American tradition of civil disobedience to let their voice be heard to the president, that they're sick and tired of business as usual, and they're ready for President Obama to make a hard decision, but also the right decision. And this pipeline, for folks who aren't familiar with it, is a 1,700-mile pipeline that would go from the tar sands in Alberta, Canada, down to the Gulf of Mexico. It would pass through six states, over fresh water sources, over farming land, through the homes of people who would be displaced, pretty much because of a foreign company is coming in and kicking them off their land. And, people are really concerned about this, and they're taking action. Fantastic.
It is. And what are they doing to get arrested?
Every morning, people go to Lafayette Square Park, which is directly across from the White House, about around 10 a.m., and they gather together and meet their neighbors and get a briefing on what they're going to do that day, hear a few speeches. And then around 11, they walk down single file to the front of the White House at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and they go to what's called the postcard zone, where you are not allowed to linger. You may go there and take a photo, but you can't sit and stay. That's actually against the law. So about 75 people go down there, between 50 and 75, and they sit down with some banners and take over the space very peacefully, very orderly, very respectfully, but in a way that, they're making sure their voice is heard. And they hang out for about a half hour in the sun, and then the police start arresting people after a few warnings. And it's all very civil, it's all very quiet and dignified, but hopefully also very effective.
Now, there's a lot of people saying that we should leave carbon in the ground, including Bill McKibben, and that's a good idea, except we don't quite have it figured out what we're going to use in its place. Why is this particular project, if you can call it that, this endeavor, so important to environmental activists? I mean, we have a lot of carbon coming out of the ground, a lot of oil being pumped, and with some kind of often disastrous results, a lot of coal being mined with disastrous results. Why is this one the keystone, sort of a cornerstone, if you will, for activists?
Well, there's a few things there that I think we should unpack. In terms of why this is kind of the issue of the moment, I would say it's just because this is one thing that President Obama can do to show the people who supported him in 2008 that he's serious about living up to the promises that he made about dealing with climate change and starting the great energy transition to clean renewable energy as opposed to the dirty fossil fuels that we've been using. And he doesn't have to rely on Congress, which, of course, has been tied down in, legislative morass for a number of years now. He doesn't have to deal with any other branches of government. He doesn't have to deal with anything other than
emphasis on that second syllable there, morass. Go ahead, sorry.
Yes. Well, he doesn't have to deal with anything but his own conscience. So he can decide unilaterally if he wants his pipeline to go ahead. And that's why these people are coming to the White House to tell him, you know, the way they think his decisions should go. And Bill McKibben, Naomi Klein, Gus Speth, who started in NRDC and was in the Clinton administration and the Carter administration.
Written a couple of fabulous books, one of my heroes, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. They all came together to issue this call, and people have responded, and it's been wonderful. To get to your point about fossil fuels, you know, we actually have the technology right now to get off fossil fuels. It's not going to happen overnight, but if we start getting serious and stop spending money on bad infrastructure projects like this proposed pipeline that's doubling down on essentially 19th century technology and start looking towards energy that's going to be in the 21st century, we're going to get off fossil fuels much faster. And so that's another reason why this decision is extremely pivotal.
And I understand that President Obama does have the clearance to actually deny this permit. He wouldn't have to go with Congress. And I think that's an important point to make, that it really is in his hands. And he needs to hear from the environmental community, which, you know, gets drowned out by all the, you know, funding by the fossil fuel industry in terms of the mouthpieces of the media. You think we weren't there, but we are. We are frustrated. We are anxious. We are kind of loaded for bear. And he needs to hear that if he wants our support in the next, election and then going forward, this is a chance to, as McKibben said, draw the line in the sand. Where do you really stand on this? And what do you think he's going to do? Are you optimistic or not really?
Well, we are optimistic. We think the president is a courageous guy who shares our values, and we expect him to act on it. And he had very lofty rhetoric, and he made a lot of promises in 2008. And we expect that he will live up to that. You know, it's not been an easy 3 years. The economy obviously is in shambles. There is undue influence in the Congress, and it's extremely a dysfunctional body right now. But this isn't something the president has to go through Congress for. He can do it unilaterally. He can do it with this, you know, the wave of his hand. He can get rid of this pipeline. And we have people from all over the country who are coming here to tell him that. Just yesterday, we had a delegation of 20 Nebraskans who came in. These are folks that are landowners. They've been on their land for generations. These are people who farm out there. They ranch. These are people who are even, some of them I think might identify as Tea Partiers. So they came out here to say, look, this isn't right. We cannot have a foreign company coming down from Canada, TransCanada, that's going to take some of the dirtiest fossil fuels known to man and pump it through their land over their access to fresh water. That doesn't make a lick of sense, and they came down here to tell them that, and, you know, I think the president's going to hear them.
And this, you know, going through tar sands to get oil is very dirty. It is going after not the opposite of low-hanging fruit. It's really a sign of almost a last resort. It's like drilling ever farther out into the ocean, and we saw the results of that with the Horizon disaster. So, you know, why is it it's important on a lot of levels, environmentally, politically, but just physically, what's involved in, you know, going for this oil and then transporting it. That's the story that's not really getting out in those nice slick ads that proponents are saying this is going to be good for jobs, and this is no more, tar sand drilling does not emit any more CO2 than other forms. Well, that's not very comforting, is it, since look where oil has gotten us. Traditional methods of getting oil out of the ground.
Just a few things about that. So, you know, first of all, these tar sands oil is extremely unconventional oil, and it's the second largest carbon pool on the planet behind Saudi Arabia. And James Hansen, who's perhaps the country's leading voice when it comes to dealing with climatology, comes from NASA, has said, look, if we fully exploit the tar sands, it's game over for the climate. We cannot recover from that. There's just too much carbon there, and if we put it in the atmosphere, in his words, it's going to be game over. So that's
very dramatic.
That's the effect on the climate. And the effect on the land is a whole different story. I mean, there was an oil spill last year in Kalamazoo in Michigan. 840,000 gallons of tar sands oil spilled in the Kalamazoo River. There's 12 spills from TransCanada's current pipeline. It's called the Keystone. This second pipeline is called the Keystone XL. 12 spills last year. And, you know, people just can't deal with this stuff. It is disgusting. You cannot clean it up. And, you know, people shouldn't have to be cleaning it up. We have the technology right now not to be using this stuff. And it's absurd that we would build a 1,700-mile pipeline in the age of climate change right through the middle of our country and put our citizens at risk.
And doesn't that indicate we are, those in the know realize we are, meaning the oil industry, we must be approaching, if not past peak oil, if we're going after this higher hanging fruit?
Well, you know, a rational person would definitely come to those conclusions. The oil companies are not stupid, and if they are going after this unconventional oil that's extremely expensive to take out of the ground or take out of the ocean, they're doing it for a reason, and that's because most of the easy-to-get oil is gone.
And isn't that, that alone is pretty frightening, and yet I would say the average American is not really taking that in and the consequences of that reality.
I would agree with you, but there are a lot of people who are waking up to this reality and starting to take action. I mean, I can't believe the broad cross-section of Americans that we've had come out for this. We had a woman 2 days ago who's 65 years old, first time she was ever arrested, and it was her birthday. She spent her birthday in jail, and that's the level of her commitment, you know. And every day we have dozens of these kind of stories. Today there was 15 people up from the Gulf Coast. They're dealing with the horrific effects still from Katrina and the BP oil spill and all the other catastrophes that have affected that area, and they came up here to tell President Obama that the rest of the country shouldn't have to deal with this. And a pipeline down to the Gulf is just going to be another catastrophe waiting to happen. So, you know, people are waking up to this reality and they're letting their voice be heard.
Well, thank you for giving us, you know, a real sense of how buried the protesters are there. That's really the most exciting thing, because you know all too well, as do I, it's often the usual suspects, and maybe some, you know, cynics think that they're trucking in activists, you know, from Berkeley. But it's really not that.
No, I tell you what, there's no one here with dreadlocks. There's no one here smelling petroleum oil and listening to Grateful Dead songs. These are people that definitely defy the stereotype.
I was so happy to see Gus Speth, who must be, what, in his 70s now? I hope I'm not aging him too much, but he's been someone I've been following and respecting and admiring for so long, and I've read his books. But to see him, you know, being interviewed on, I think it was a Sunday morning talk show, was very exciting. And
sure.
Also to hear, you know, John Huntsman, whatever you think of his candidacy or his politics, you know, to really call out his fellow Republicans who are, you know, almost in unison denying, you know, the entire world body of climate scientists, to really call that what it is. Isn't that what we need to see more of, especially as this election heats up, you know, just some plain truth being spoken?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things we're trying to accomplish here. We're trying to elevate the issue of climate change and this pipeline to an issue that's going to be front and center for the 2012 election. And I think you framed it nicely earlier that the president just can't take this environmental constituency for granted. That people are, you know, they're fed up and they want strong action and they want their president to live up to their principles. And that's why they're coming to D.C.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you plan in representing Rainforest Action Network to stay all the way through? I think the protest is scheduled to continue through September 3rd.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to be one of the organizers for the event, so I will be here the whole time.
That's great. Why is it, by the way, usually it's a, you know, a two-hour or maybe a two-day protest. Why is it a couple of weeks in this case?
I think we wanted to show the president that we're not going to be going away and that we have a real commitment. You know, we've all been through these protests where they come in one day and they're over by the end of the day and you get some media attention and a politician can kind of, you know, deal with the storm and move on. But when you're outside his house day after day with Americans from all corners of the country willing to get arrested, willing to spend their summer vacation in handcuffs, you know, that shows something, that shows a real commitment. And the president is in Martha's Vineyard right now. We are at his house. He will be back on the 28th, and we'll be there waiting for him.
Wonderful. Has anyone from the White House come out and talk to you?
No, not yet.
Hopefully that will happen. Thank you so much for joining us, Daniel Kessler with Rainforest Action Network. Grabbed you on the fly, and I appreciate you spending a little more time with me than you thought you had. But having covered all environmental stories for 15 years, I like to have the big stories on for sure. And it's been really hard to reach folks at 350.org. I know Bill McKibben has been everywhere, and
yeah,
That's fabulous, getting more mainstream press coverage. And so you go back there and keep organizing, keep protesting, getting arrested if you have to, and let the troops know that there are a lot of people paying attention to what they're doing.
Okay.
And it's not being spent in vain. And just give them an attaboy from those of us on the green front.
I will. Thanks so much for your support. Take care.
Okay, good luck. And we'll be following up with the protest as it unfolds next week as well, because it will be continuing. And just a few words before we close today. I know that you have been following, as I have, this political season just getting started. And if you've listened to this program more than once, you've heard me talk about a green alternative to the Tea Party. That would be for those of us who are steamed that so many in Congress seem to be willing to play politics with our planet. Last time I checked, the only one we have. And as if they, the candidates, are feeding right into, you know, our cause. They are just giving us so much fuel for thought, too much, really. We'd rather, as Roger said, be doing other things with our time. But those of us who are paying attention just cannot stand by and listen to this garbage. Really, it is trash talk coming out of the mouths of people like Texas Governor Rick Perry, who just doesn't believe that humans are heating the planet, not sure about evolution either. And John Hunt's been calling them out and saying if the Republicans become the party that doesn't believe in science, it's pretty much all over for the Republican Party. You know, I'd like to hear more about the candidate's responses to that, because he's right. He's speaking truth, and truth can be powerful, and that's what we're trying to do with the Green Tea Party. We're having house parties. We've had about four or five so far, where we say if you're frustrated and you're fed up, we don't want you to go into apathy. We don't want you to get depressed and despairing. Many of us have been at times. We need to get into action because the facts are on our side. And if it takes going, you know, house to house to get people a little bit more active. We talk about how people can green their routine, how they can green their vote, most importantly. Even though we're pretty much talking to the choir initially, we hope to spread envirally across other parts of the state and then the country. That's our green dream, not just the pretty progressive Bay Area. And go beyond our friends and really try to teach people to be more conservation-minded, and how they can do that, and how they can make it fun, and how they can save money by saving energy and water and resources, and really just how to put those green glasses on and green their drive, green their diet, green their home. We have a line of green cleaning products. We've partnered with Shaklee because after looking into a number of potential product sponsors and partners, I've decided they are the greenest of them all, having been around for 55 years, having a line of green cleaning products from the start, and a very robust line of vitamin supplements. And if anyone would like to learn more about the Green Tea Party or why we chose Shaklee, please send me an email at betsy@thegreenfront.com. I have reserved the URL, americasgreenteaparty.com, as well as greenteaparty.com. And so coming soon to a .com near you will be a website at probably both those places. Don't have anything up yet because I need someone to design the website for us. We don't have any budget, so if any of you out there in Internet Radio Land are listening and you know somebody who's passionate about the environment and raising awareness, let me hear from you, betsy@thegreenfront.com, because that's what we're waiting for. And you know, you're not official, you're not real until you have a website. So that's our next big challenge. But we have a lot of requests for parties. If you would like us to come to your area and we get a little bit of a budget, be happy to travel there and offset the carbon, of course, if it's a plane ride involved. So thanks for listening. I appreciate your patronage of the Green Front. Please tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your family, heck, tell your enemies about this program and any other places that are providing truthful environmental content that connects the dots and lets us know what's really important, most important to deal with first before we get on with the business of living our lives, which will be a lot more pleasant in the future if we can at least stop some of the very rapid decline of our many ecological systems. So to end on a positive note, I want to wish you a great green week and support the protesters out there, you know, really marching for their consciousness, getting arrested, willing to engage in civil disobedience, mostly because of their concern, deep concern, for climate change. It's not just a few tree huggers, folks, as much as they would like us to believe. Not going to happen. We're not going away. But I got to go away now, so see you next time.